morning, if you will, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6, we'll be there in just a few minutes. We've been live streaming now our services for several weeks, but it is still a work in progress. And there have been some hitches and glitches along the way. And the time I think the camera quit working right in the middle of everything, but hopefully, I think the audio still went through, but there was no picture. And so those of you that are watching the live stream, don't give up hope. We're still, you know, it's a work in progress from trying to decide, you know, all the right things and all the right ways of doing things. One thing we do need to do, we need to replace the sound system in the church, all right? The one we've got is, it's falling apart a piece at a time. We've lost our pulpit mic. It won't work anymore, and that's why I'm preaching one-sided. But it is okay to do that because, I remember watching Dr. Lee Robertson, who pastored at Highland Park Baptist Church for over 40 years and did a great work there for God, and he would come and preach, and he would step to the side of the pulpit, and this way he'd preach. And so that's, I'm preaching one-sided today. And it's not because I don't care about you people, all right? I started to say I feel like I can trust y'all more, but looking over there right now, maybe not, okay? So, but want to be sure right in front of the microphone, and it picks up everything. So pray with us about that, you know, on the sound system. The guy that put the one in that we have now, I've talked to him, and I said, hey, what would it cost us to kind of shoot me some figures? And so he sent me some stuff, and he said it run about $20,000. And I don't know about you, but that always kind of makes me gasp, all right, you know? But anyhow, we do need to do it. Maybe we can save some money off of that. But you pray that the Lord will give us wisdom in what to do and how to do that, okay? If you would, I would appreciate it. So, hey, what a blessing to just be in the house of God this morning, right? Just glad you can be here. Romans chapter 6, if you're there, want to begin reading, if you could, down verse 7, where the Bible says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, I want to invite your attention back to verse 11, all right? Verse 11, where the scripture says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help this morning. I need you to give me the words that I need to say. Lord, I believe this is what you want me to preach. And Lord, I ask you to help me to preach it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I admit to you, I am a fossil from an earlier age. I am not politically correct. And really don't care to be, all right? Have no desire to be that at all. The current climate that is in our world, I find it to be kind of despicable, if you will. I don't fit in with the thinking of this day and this age. I just don't fit in whatsoever. I am a Southerner. And I want to say this, I'm not ashamed to be a Southerner. Now, today is today's climate. I think they won't. It seems to me that they would like to make every Southerner feel oppressed, you know. And I don't think myself better than others that aren't. But sometimes I do feel sorry for people that aren't Southerners, all right? I like Southern things. Now, could I go ahead and put in the disclaimer so I don't have to hear about it later? I'm not in favor of slavery. I've never been in favor of slavery. I think it's truly despicable and a terrible thing. But I'm not ashamed to be a Southerner, okay? I like Southern things. I like Southern hospitality, Southern friendliness. Hey, I'm from what they call the Deep South, Georgia. And I'll never forget, we'd lived out of Georgia. We'd lived in Texas a good many years. But we went back to Georgia, and I was with my dad, and we were looking for some of his old home places. And we were driving around, and we got, you know, on this old country road. I think it wasn't even paved. It was still kind of a dirt, gravel road. And there was a fella out there, and we stopped and began to talk to him. And, you know, we'd talking, and Dad was talking to him, and he said, yeah, I grew up in this area, you know, and this fellow, you know, we're talking. And anyway, we asked him some directions, and when it came time to leave, we thanked him, and he said this. Never forget it. Now, we just met him. He said this. He said, hey, listen, you come back and see me sometime now. You know what? He meant it. That's Southern friendliness, Southern hospitality, all right? I like Southern culture. I like Southern manners. I like the tipping the hat to ladies, all right? I like it when men, now, and I don't think all of these things are just Southern, so don't get upset with me, all right? But tipping your hat to a lady and being respectful. I liked it when we grew up in a time when if a man accidentally, and it would have only been an accident, that he'd let a curse word escape his lips in the presence of a woman, he would have immediately apologized. Immediately apologized. Hey, I like that kind of thing. I like the yes, sir, and no, sir, the yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I like that respect, you know. I love it. And I tell you, I dearly love Southern cooking. Man, that's my kind of stuff. Grits and eggs and, you know, cheese in there with those grits. And I like that. I like turnip greens and hoe cake cornbread. Now, if you don't know what hoe cake cornbread is, hoe cake cornbread's real thin. It's got a top and a bottom and no middle, all right? And, boy, I love that kind of thing. I love, and I almost hesitate to say this, pot liquor. Now, it's not intoxicating, all right? And there's nothing intoxicating about it, but I like that crumble up cornbread in there. I like that kind of stuff. Turnip greens, all right? Yeah, I like it. Rutabagas. Somebody said, what is that, all right? Man, I'm telling you, it's just Southern cooking, all right? And I like that kind of thing. And, you know, man, what a blessing it is. I like it. And, by the way, I want to point out to you, I like the Southern language. I speak Southern. I can interpret. You know, somebody said, "Tain't so." I know what that means. I know what that means. I know the word you all, y'all. I like that Southern drawl, you know. I do. I like it. By the way, I want to point out to you, the Apostle Paul was a Southerner. He said, no, he wasn't. Yeah, he was. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Again, in Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. All right? In chapter 16, verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If he had been a Yankee, he'd have said, use guys, all right? You know, it'd have been that way. Now, I'm kidding, all right? But I want you to look in verse 11. You said, what in the world? Where is this going, preacher? Well, here's going. It's going to verse 11. There's a word there that I kind of consider it to be somewhat of a Southern word because you hear it there, and it's that word reckon. Reckon. I've heard people say, man, I reckon this. Or I reckon that. Or I reckon so. I've heard people, you're looking at a fellow and you're there and you're looking at this guy and he seems to be having trouble and say, what do you reckon's wrong with him? Reckon is a good word, all right? It means to conclude, to consider, to suppose, and to think so, or to think on, all right? Now, our text in verse 11 says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll be honest, I've found there are a host of folks who reckon differently on that situation. They reckon differently. Now, I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of what do you reckon? What do you reckon? All right. What's your conclusion in this matter of yourself and sin and God? Okay. What do you reckon? You see, I believe there's three main reckonings in regard to that question. And I want to look at each one of them this morning just for a minute or two. First of all, there are those some reckon God is dead. Some reckon God is dead. Way back yonder in 1882, and yes, that was before I was born. All right, in 1882, there was a German philosopher by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche, and he came out with this statement, and I quote, "God is dead, God remains dead, and we killed him." Now, you say, what was he talking about? Well, what he was talking about was in reference to he was expressing the idea that the Enlightenment had eliminated the possibility of the existence of God. It was his brilliant idea. Now, in my lifetime, back in the 60s, the mid-60s, there was a fellow by the name of Thomas Altizer, and he came out and he reiterated that bit of brilliance. And he gained a lot of fame when he said, God is dead. God is dead. And hey, there's people that believe that. And they would say, well, I reckon God is dead, to be honest. Many people in our day, they might not say it, but the truth of the matter is, if you took a look at their life, it indicates that they really pretty much believe that God is dead, or at least he's sure no longer around, and he doesn't count. He's not keeping an eye on them, all right? You just take away and take a look at the way they live, and they live as if there is no God, absolutely no God. And sometimes they would even tell you, I don't believe in God. They're atheists or agnostics. To be honest with you, those people don't bother me. The folks that bother me are professing Christians who obviously believe God is dead. I said, preacher, how can you say that? Because I watch them. They don't think he can keep his word. They don't think he can take care of them. Preacher gets up and preaches. It doesn't have to be this preacher. Preacher gets up and preaches, man, you need to tithe. This is a command of God. You ought to... Preacher, I just can't do it. What you mean is God's dead because he can't take care of you. Because he said, you give and I'll give back to you. He said, you give and I'll give it back. He said, if you'll bring you all the tithe in the storehouse, prove me now herewith, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Of course, if your God's dead, he can't do that. Your God's dead, he can't do that. And a lot of people today, professing Christians, they think, well, I can't surrender to serve him. Preacher, you don't understand. I've got this and this and that. Oh, yeah, I understand. Your God's dead. He can't take care of you. Your God, if you serve him, he's dead. He can't provide for you. He can't do it. You see, those are the people that bother me because it seems as if they say, well, I reckon God's dead. I reckon God is dead. Now, there are some that say, I reckon God is dead. There are many that say, I reckon sin is dead. I reckon sin is dead. Now, surely everybody that reckons God is dead doesn't think sin is alive. I mean, why would you worry about it? If there's no God to sin against, then sin's dead. If there is no God to answer to for my sin, then sin might as well be dead, all right? Hey, if there's nobody around keeping track of sin, then obviously sin might as well be dead. And a lot of people today, I think that's the way they live. They live their life as if to say, I believe sin is dead. Others, you know, they may not be the unbeliever in the sense they don't believe there's a God, but they believe sin's dead because you look at them, or they believe sin's very narrowly defined. It kind of changes from time to time. I've had people say this to me. I had them say to me, well, what's sin for you? may not be sin for me. And what is sin for me may not be sin for you. Now, when somebody says that, I want to give them a little bit of Greek. Because what I want to say is, you know, what? And what in the world are you talking about? Hey, if that sin doesn't apply to me, then it must be dead, right? Sin is dead. Now, if it applies to you, well, that's different. That's different, you know. I can go my way. I can do my thing, you know. We even have a term for it. It's called situational ethics. And sometimes the situation determines if something's right or not. We mentioned this, talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Listen, it's never right for you to do wrong. Never right for you to do wrong. But what about, I don't care. I don't care. He said, well, preacher, what about when my wife comes and says, how do you like my new hairdo? Preacher, if I tell the truth, we'll be calling you for counseling, all right? So what do I do? You know, does this garment make me look fat? Right? Hey, there's ways to handle those kind of things. There's ways to handle that. You say, well, you just lie. No. No, you don't lie. How do you like my new hairdo? I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like that. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. All right? Yes, sir. That beautician did a work on you. Yes, sir. Sure did. Now try to smile while you're saying that, okay? Always nod your head, you know. Nod your head. Go with it. Now, ladies, I tell you, you can help your husband. Don't ask that question. That way he doesn't have to even think about lying, all right? By the way, you've already done it. Now's no time to ask, okay? You know, that's a wrong thing to do. But some people, they have this idea that situation determines whether it's right or wrong. No, I reckon sin's dead. I reckon sin's dead. But I'll tell you this, many people reckon God's dead. I believe many more reckon that sin is dead. But I found this, very few reckon themselves dead to sin. Very few reckon themselves dead to sin. All right? I mean, look, if you will, look in our scripture reading there in Romans chapter 6. All right, the Bible said, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. I got news for you. You go to a funeral, you look in that casket, you see that individual laying there, that person's freed from sin. That person's freed from sin. You don't ever have to worry about that person ever again lying to you. You don't have to worry about it. They're not going to do it. There's some things you can't do if you're dead. Have you noticed that? There's just some things you can't do. And you look at it, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, the Bible says we're to reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. All right? Now, what does that mean? Well, let me just give you some specifics. If you're really dead unto sin, then you won't make plans to sin. You will not make plans to sin. Now, you may sit there and think, preacher, who in the world? Nobody makes. No, we're not. I mean, we're Christians. You're preaching to people that are saved. As most of us, you know, hey, we're born again. What do you mean, plan to sin? Well, I'll tell you, one of the greatest people in the Bible made plans to sin. You say, who? David. King David. Yeah, he made plans to sin. He looked and saw Bathsheba, and he planned to have immorality. He planned to commit fornication. Yep, he planned to do it. After that, when things he couldn't work it out to cover up his sin, he planned to commit murder. Hey, that's a man that we would call a saved man planning to sin. Can I point out to you, he wasn't dead indeed unto sin. Why? Because we know he wasn't, because why? He was planning to sin. He was planning to sin. Now, you may be sitting here this morning and thinking, preacher, I'm good. I'm not planning to commit adultery or fornication. And I definitely not planning to murder anybody. Wonderful, wonderful. But the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration. And don't punch each other. You hang with me, all right? You plan to skip church. We plan not to go to church. We plan not to go. Come on, preacher. Wait a minute. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, that's a command. When you plan not to do what God says to do, what are you doing? Well, you're planning to sin. That's what you're planning to do. Yeah, but wait a minute. You got to understand. I know we all justify our own sin. Hey, we're back to situational ethics, aren't we? If you just understood the circumstances, doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Hey, you plan not to go to church, you're planning to sin. Hey, what does that mean? That means you're not dead to sin, all right? That you mean you haven't reckoned yourself dead to sin because you're planning to do it. Well, come on, preacher, you expect me to come every service?
Yes.
Sure, why not? Why not? Well, we send our kids every day to school. Most people send them there every day. I've had them send kids to school who are sick. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Kid comes to school, first place he goes, the bathroom, so he can throw up. Man, why? Were you feeling bad? I told Mom I didn't feel good when I got out of the car. So the first thing we do is call him. Would you come back and get Junior, you know? We love him, but we don't want him here. He's sick. Hey, we believe it's wrong with kids to miss school. We believe it's wrong with skip work. Most of you do, all right? But we think it's okay to plan to skip church. Now, that's just one example, all right? We could go other places. But I just wanted to pick one there and just lay it out there. Hey, reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin. Well, I reckon I'm dead unto sin, but I'm planning. No, you're not dead to sin. Hey, if you're dead to sin, you will not plan to sin. Hey, if you're dead to sin, then you won't give sin a place in your life. You won't give a place to sin in your life. Take your Bible, look over in Ephesians chapter 4, would you? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, just one verse there, if you would look at it with me this morning in the Word of God. Ephesians 4, down in verse 27, this is what the Bible says. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Hey, preacher, I reckon I'm dead unto sin. Okay, if you're dead to sin, then you won't give the devil a place in your life. You won't do it. You will not do it. You know what that means? That means that the moment you realize, oh, I have sinned, you're going to confess it and forsake it. You're going to confess it and forsake it. That little, we call it maybe besetting sin, or maybe we should call it that favored or favorite sin. We look at it and we don't think it's that big a deal. Hey, it's not that big a deal. Look, I can look at pornography every once in a while and not. Watch out. Watch out. Hey, we keep that, I want to say keep that pornographic magazine laying around, but you don't even have to do that now. You can access it on your phone. Hey, if you give place to sin, you're not dead to sin. You just kind of keep a place there, and you just keep it close, you know. Keep it close. You don't make a clean break. You don't settle it right there and take care of it. You're leaving it hanging around. What does that mean? Well, it means you're not dead to sin. Hey, if you're dead indeed unto sin, you'll not plan to sin. You'll not have a place for sin. It won't be there. It won't be there, not if you're dead indeed unto sin. I'll tell you something else. Take your Bible. Let's go back to Let's go to two places. Go to Romans chapter 1, all right? I'll give you a chance to turn there. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And then I want you to turn over to 2 Thessalonians, all right? 2 Thessalonians. Romans chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, all right? And I just want you to take a look at a couple of verses, all right? Notice what the Bible says, Romans chapter 1, down in verse 32. Verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Notice that last part. They have pleasure in them that do such things. Have pleasure in those that commit sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. It says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, if you're dead indeed unto sin, you'll not only not plan to sin, you'll not only not have a place for sin in your life, but you won't take pleasure in sin. You won't take pleasure in sin. You say, what do you mean? I mean watching other people sin. You said, I don't ever do that. What about the movie you watch? What about the TV show? What about that dirty joke that you laughed at? You find funny and you waited and looked for the right place, you can tell it to somebody else. Now you want to be careful who you tell it to. Hey, what about that? He said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about if you're dead to sin, you don't take pleasure in sin. You don't take pleasure in sin. You don't take pleasure in those that do sin. Do sin. You ever felt glad because somebody got caught in sin? We shouldn't feel that way. We shouldn't feel that way. Man, need to be careful. Need to be careful. Just want to ask you this morning, what do you reckon? Some, I reckon God is dead. Others reckon sin is dead. But sadly, there's very, very few people that reckon themselves dead indeed unto sin. But wait a minute, I'll take you back there to Romans chapter 6, where the Bible says, if you're dead indeed unto sin, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. It's hard to be alive unto God if you're not dead to sin. You're not dead to sin. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that that means God has absolutely no place in your life. Nope, I didn't say that, and I don't believe that. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe if there's no attempt for you to be dead indeed unto sin, there's very little chance that God's going to have first place in your life. Very little chance of that. If you plan to sin, you give place to sin, or you take pleasure in sin, how in the world can he be first in your life? And that's where he's supposed to be. He's to have the preeminence, first place in your life. That can't be. That can't be. You can't work at being dead to sin, all right? So I ask you this morning, what do you reckon? What do you reckon? Not what does somebody else reckon, but what do you reckon? I want to tell you, I reckon God is alive. I reckon God is alive. You see, boy, when I was a boy, 9 years old, if I can count or subtract right, that's 57 years ago for me, that God got a hold of my heart. Man, you talk about conviction, it was there. He got a hold on me. And he saved me when I was a nine-year-old boy. But I'll tell you this, I still feel him tugging at my life on a regular basis. The songwriter said, if God is dead, who's this living in my soul? Another songwriter said, "Don't try to tell me that God is dead. I just talked to him this morning." Hey, he's alive and well. I reckon God's alive. I'll tell you this, I reckon sin is alive too. I reckon sin is alive because I still have to struggle against it. It's a struggle to live in. You see, John, 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Yeah, I reckon sin is alive. I reckon God is alive. But I tell you what, I reckon I need to be dead to sin because I surely want to be alive to God. I want to be more alive to Him than I do to sin. I need to reckon myself dead to sin. Hey, what do you reckon this morning? Well, preacher, I reckon I'm okay. Well, does God reckon the same way you do? Does He agree with your reckoning? What do you reckon? You're the only one can answer that. You're the only one. Boy, I want to be alive unto God. Don't you? Don't you want to be alive unto Him? You know, we talk about, man, I sure wish I was on speaking terms with so-and-so. Some famous individual. Usually some famous sinner. I want to be on speaking terms with God. I want to know when I speak that He hears me. But even more so, I want to know that when He speaks, I'll be sure I'm listening. I want to be alive unto Him. What do you reckon today? You reckon God's dead? Surely you don't think that. You reckon sin is dead? I hope not. I don't think you do. But do you reckon yourselves dead unto sin? Heavenly Father, I pray You'd speak to us today. Lord, help us to see our life. Help us to see ourselves as You see us. Sometimes we reckon we're okay when the truth is we're not. And Lord, I pray we'd look to You. Lord, I pray there'd be a desire on the part of every saved soul that's here and that's hearing these words to be alive unto God. Lord, help us. Lord, if there's one here this morning that's lost, would You help them to trust the Savior today? Would You deal with their heart? Would You speak to them? Help them to have the courage to come and say, "Preacher, I need to trust the Lord." Lord, if there's somebody that's hearing these words today that's lost, help them to find somebody that'll tell them how to be saved. Lord, now use the invitation for Your will and Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning? We'll begin to sing the invitation hymn today. Hey, what do you reckon? What do you reckon? Do you reckon yourself dead to sin? God's dealing with you. Would you come this morning? Make use of the altar today. Would you come while we sing?